speak to you today on the subject, Samson's Achilles heel. We're all familiar with the story about Achilles, a great warrior that just could not be subdued by anything. And the reason for that was that he had been dipped in this magic potion. But the person dipping him in the potion had to hold him by the heel to drop him in. Otherwise, the guy would drown, I guess. I don't know. So he was dipped in and pulled out, but by his heel. And so the only part that was susceptible to the darts of the enemy would be the part where he was touched on the heel. And so that was why we call it the Achilles heel. Well, old man Samson also had an Achilles heel, which leads me to say that even the strong are weak, which we'll look at this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Judges chapter 14. While you're turning, I can make mention that last time we met, we spoke on the subject, if Samson can do it, you can do it. And we looked at this guy named Samson. I didn't tell you last time we met that what his name means. All of you know what your name means, I hope. If you don't, we can look it up before you leave today. But names have meanings. And Samson's name means son, or it means son man, or it means little son, or it means sonny. And that's Samson, the guy who actually killed a lion. As a matter of fact, you know that he wasn't the only guy that killed a lion in the scripture. You know that the scripture tells us that David also slew a lion. Remember the time when he was talking to King Saul and he said, "Hey, I've got the credentials to go out, attack, and actually kill Goliath." And the word was, "Well, surely you don't have what it takes." And he said, "Yes, I do." And in the listing of his credentials, he mentioned, "I killed a lion once." Then there was another guy by the name of Benaniah who also killed a lion. And that was on a very snowy day, it says in the scripture. He went down into the pit. Well, Samson, this guy named Samson, was much like Isaac and much like Samuel and much like John the Baptist, because he was a man who came as a result of prayer. He was a child of prayer. And last time we met, we looked at Samson. As I mentioned, if Samson can do it, we can do it. And we looked at his love and we looked at his lion. Samson's lion. And we looked at Jesus when he went on his lion attack, because Satan came to him, and one of the 33 descriptive titles of Satan is a lion. Then we looked at Paul with the lion that he was faced in the arena, or figuratively with just everyday life. And then we looked at you and we looked at us, and we said that we all, as a body of Christ, were put together to be a Samson as we attacked the lion that has attacked some of our individuals. And we passed out the largest of all flyers, and if you haven't gotten one, we'll get one to you before we leave. It showed a picture of Samson actually killing the lion, and on his body we had typed all of our resident church members, because you are, as a picture of Samson, trying to help overcome an individual who is being attacked by their personal lion. I guess the great lesson is that spiritual men are not free from temptations common to man. His marriage was used of the Lord, made in heaven, At least God used it. He broke God's will in going to the Philistine to get his mate. As a lion killer, he did not boast. He was modest. He had humility. He made several trips to the Philistine city, and on one of these, perhaps the third time, he was curious enough to go back to the lion area and to see what he had done. And it was at that point that he found the carcass of the lion had been filled with honey. Now, Cana is a land that is filled, the scripture says, with milk and honey. So bees were very, very common to the people. He goes back, and as he returns to a place that was very significant for him. And I'm wondering, don't we have, or could not we have, significant places that we would go back to? A place where maybe, for example, you were saved, a place where something spectacular happened to you as an encounter that you had with God. So it's not unusual to have these places. Sometimes I have returned to the place where I first got my tongue and just say, hey, this is where it happened, you know. And there are places in the city and places out in the country that where I've had experiences with God, and so I have not purposely returned to them, although I may have on one or two occasions. But it, apparently Samson did this. He returned to this place, and there he found that honey. Some side notes. First of all, the encounter with the bees. To get the honey, he had to do what? Reach in through the bees to get the honey. So that may frighten some of us, but you know, it shouldn't. The guy who was not afraid of the paw of the lion certainly would not be afraid of the sting of the bees. So he reaches in and he gets the honey. Even though he was a Nazarite and could not touch unclean a body, maybe he figured that this was not a human, it was an animal. I don't know what went through his mind, but nevertheless, he had no problem in doing that. And he had the encounter. And the second side note is this. By removing the bees to get to the honey, he was taught that he need not fear the multitude of the Philistines, who were like bees to him. Turn, if you will, in your Bible to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. And we'll look at verse 12. 118, 12. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees. Now, we're talking about enemies here. Now, the Philistines were the enemies of Samson. And so it's sort of like a picture. He was not afraid of the bees. He's not afraid of his enemy. And the third thing to note in passing is this. Let those people who, by the grace of God, have found sweetness in their experiences with or of God, let those people communicate their experiences to others. Samson found sweetness in the carcass of the lion, and he took some of it out, and he brought it to his mom and dad. And what God, I think, would tell us today is simply this. If you have, in fact, found some sweetness with an encounter with God, then share that with your friends. Share that with your neighbors, as did Samson. And then a further side note is this. Our Lord Jesus, having conquered Satan, who was that roaring lion, then we as believers find honey in the carcass of that lion, which is Satan. We find abundant strength. We find satisfaction. For our friends and for our neighbors, from that victory that Jesus had over that roaring lion of Satan. And so today, let's look at four things. First of all, the marriage and the riddle. Let's go to chapter 14 and let's look at verse 10. Judges 14, verse 10. Now his father went down to see the woman, and Samson made a feast there as was customary for bridegrooms. Now, there's no evidence of really religious ceremonies in early marriage. After making the contract, the next step was to remove the bride from the home. That was all that was necessary to complete the marriage. That's what Isaac did. Isaac went and got Rebecca. He brought Rebecca home to his mom's tent. It was a type of a marriage where there were visitations, but at the end of the feast, the man would go and he would get his bride and bring the bride home. Of course, in the meantime, visited from time to time by her husband. The marriages were noisy, they were boisterous, they were just a very happy time when people would come together. And even in the New Testament time, that was also true. So he goes down, this is in verse 10. In verse 11, when he appeared, he was given 30 companions. Now, perhaps the interpretation would be that he was such an outstanding person in appearance that these guys just wanted to be with him. You know, sometimes you're at some kind of a social and there's somebody there you'd like to be with, or you would gravitate to that person to meet or to talk to. Well, it could be that when he was there, he was given the 30 companions. But it's interesting to note that even though he was a Nazarite. He was still a party animal, and he was there in the party, and these 30 guys were right there with him. And the question is, were they evil? Were they evil companions? Were they the groom's men? Were they good or were they bad? Perhaps they were there as guards. I mean, we got Samson coming in, this guy coming in, and maybe these 30 companions were there just to guard him or to spy on what he was going to do or say. Verse 12, Samson says, "Let me tell you a riddle. If you can give me the answer within 7 days of the feast, I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes." 30, because there were 30 groomsmen there. "I'll give you 30 linen." One translation has sheets, which would be the linen garments next to the body, and then the outer garment would be the second part of that. So he says, "I'll give you 30 linen inner garments, and I'll give you 30 shirts, outer garments, if you can just give me the answer to my riddle." Now, this is not unusual, because remember when the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon? If you want to turn to 1 Kings 10:1. Having riddles was a very common thing of the day. In fact, people would prize themselves in the giving of a riddle or the solving of the riddle. And they would value themselves, "Hey, I can answer this riddle." You know, you're sometimes with people and they say, "Hey, can you answer this?" And if there are several people around, whoever can answer it say, "Well, you know, I'm a pretty good guy, I got the answer." Well, the Queen of Sheba tested, it says here in 1 Kings 10:1, "When the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relation to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions." Verse 13, "If you can't tell me the answer, you must give me 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothes." "Tell us your riddle," they said. "Let's hear it. Let's hear it." And so they go for the bet. They go for the bet. Now, at any riddle, often there would be wagers. So they go for the bet, and here is the riddle in verse 14. "Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet." Now, just let that echo in your ears one more time. "Out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet." Now, as I first read that, I say, hey, this is unfair. This is very unfair that he would give such a riddle, because who would understand this riddle? But as I contemplate and think about it, it's not unfair, because they were familiar with lions. They were familiar with honey, and what is more sweeter than honey? So here is the riddle. So from verse 10 to verse 14, we have the marriage and the riddle. Then from verse 15 to 18, we have the riddle, we have the answer, and we have the result. Verse 15, "On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, 'Coax your husband into explaining the riddle for us, or we'll burn you and your father's household to death.'" Did you invite us here to rob us? Well, they chose the right way to his heart. While we're there, let's look at verse 16. "Then Samson's wife threw herself on him, sobbing, 'You hate me, you hate me, you don't really love me. You've given my people a riddle, but you have not told me the answer.'" They chose the right way to his heart. Famous weapon, some say, of a woman, i.e. tears. Found its victim. She yielded to blackmail. And the idea of burning her, boy, that's so inhumane. In fact, in the end, her whole family got put to death that way, the scripture says. How gross it was for these guys, just for losing a shirt and an undergarment, they would say, "Hey, if you don't tell me, I'm going to burn you. We're going to burn you." Just for the fear of losing a shirt and a coat. Well, if she had stayed true to her husband, Samson, he probably would have protected her by his great gift of power. But that's the riddle. And so we find in verse 16, he says, "Listen, honey, I have not even explained that to my father or my mother. Why would I explain it to you? Verse 17. She cries. How long? She cried for 7 days. What a bummer. A time when you're supposed to be happy at a feast, and here the group, you go to a wedding, and the course brides cry. We're not for 7 days. 7 days she cries. So on the seventh day, he finally told her, because she continued to press him. She in turn explained the riddle to her people. Several women were in Samson's life. I think there were four, counting his mom. But the three women that were in his life, first of all, this lady here. Secondly, in chapter 16, the woman that was a harlot that was in his life. And also in chapter 16, the only one by name, Delilah, whom we know. This woman, the first one, she's weeping. She was weeping not for the love that she had for him, but she was weeping to oblige her guests. Her loyalty to her people, the Philistines, was stronger than her devotion that she had to her husband. Before sunset on the seventh day, verse 18, the men of the town said to him, that is to Samson, "Well, Samson, what is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" And Samson said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle." They waited just before the sun went down on the seventh day. And her loyalty was so great. And then when the wedding was finished, time to remove the bride, say goodbye to mom and dad, and go to the new home. It just didn't work out that way. And he uses that word plow, which is in practically every translation, and it is an expression of unfaithfulness. Of unfaithfulness. And he says to these guys, "If you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle." Then the vengeance, verse 19 and 20, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power. He went down to Ascalon, struck down 30 of their men, stripped them of their belongings, gave their clothes to those who had explained the riddle," and he's quite angry, burning with that anger. Then he goes up to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to the friend who had attended him at the wedding. That friend might have been the best man at the world. I don't know. How strange. After he realizes he's lost the bet, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him in power. And he goes, people, he goes 30 miles. That's a long way to go. 30 miles he goes. And he had to go 30 miles through enemy territory. And he slews these guys and brings back their clothes to make his part of the bet. This Ascalon was a coastal city. In fact, it's the place where Herod the Great was born. Place where he built many, many buildings, and it's also a great seaport city, and where grain would be exported. It was a great city. He went into danger, but with his power, he came out victorious. And then it says that Samson's wife was given to the friend who had attended him at his wedding. She must have loved that person better than she loved her own husband. Apparently, the father and mother went along with that, because she was given away. The application to this today is fourfold. The application to this today comes to us in these ways. As I've tried to say, well, the story is great. Some have not heard it. Some have reviewed it. But so what? Okay, so what? Well, here is the what part of the so. First of all, the riddle of the men. Out of bad comes good. Out of bad comes good. And I want you to think, if you will, in aspects of your life, out of the bad comes the sweetness and comes the good. And I think it is a picture, it's a great picture, of the method of God's providence and the method of God's grace. For example, the persecution of the church in days gone by, and even today, has been that which has promoted its purity. the trials of the church, the conflicts of God's people, even temptations, have produced comfort for the soul. When God, by His overruling power, goes to their advantage, or when that which threatens us changes, or when enemies do not become enemies, then meat comes out of the eater. And so Satan, as the lion, is roaring against us, trying to hurt us. But we can turn, and in the name of Jesus, we can defeat that roaring lion that comes against us. And remember why lions roar is to petrify their foe. We say, hey, your teeth have been knocked out at Calvary, and we will not listen to your roar. We will stand firm. And then as we stand firm and we defeat Satan in any particular area, in that defeat is the sweetness. You understand what I'm saying? Out of this defeat of Satan comes that sweetness. But Satan will get to us one way or another. But meat out of the eater comes sweetness out of the strong. That's what Paul was trying to get across when he said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. You don't have to turn to it. It's just a simple verse that says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So the first thing in the application for us is the riddle of the man. Out of the bad does come the good. I want you to think about it in aspects of your life. And when we try to understand that riddle, we place it alongside the Word of God. Christ has victory over Satan. He has victory. And as He has victory through His humiliation, as He had victory through His agony, as He had victory through His death and through His resurrection, then that is what prompts and promotes and helps my spiritual advancement. The riddle of men, out of the bad comes the good. And the second is this, it's the railing of the woman. Satan attacks through other people. Satan had his Achilles heel. And in this case, Satan attacked Samson through his wife. He couldn't get to him any other way. And sometimes today, Satan gets to us through our wives, men. You say, is that possible? I say, yes, you better believe it, but I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying. Satan often attacks us through our wives, not as Eve, not as Job's wife, who said, just curse God and get it over with, and not through the women mentioned in Ezekiel about the ladies who were doing things to capture the men. No, this is not what I'm saying. He is getting to us through our wife, for example. If she gets sick, or if there's a prolonged illness, or if there's something that happens in doubting, or what have you, he can get to us this way by wearing us down. Or further, he can get to us, this is Satan getting to us, through somebody at our work. He can get to us through circumstances. He can get to us through events, as in sickness. You understand what I'm saying? This would be our Achilles heel. Through our doubting, he can get through us. So he gets to us through our wife in the sense that she might be ill or going through a difficult time and it affects us as husbands. Or he can get to us through persons, circumstances, what have you. But he also gets to us through our Adamic nature. Satan cannot do half the mischief that he does if he was not plowing in the mind of the heifer of our mind. He gets to us as he plows through the heifer of our mind, so to speak. And so this is what I call the Adamic nature. We're just born with this situation. The 30 couldn't solve it, but they did through her by manipulation. She says, I don't believe you love me. That's manipulation. Tell me if you really love me. This will test your affection toward me. And secondly, through the tears that she gave. So the riddle of the man says, out of the bad comes the good. The railing of the woman tells us that Satan attacks through other people in our life. And the third thing is this. It's the reasoning of the friend. You know, it's better to be angry with the Philistines that are on the other side of that wall around us in the city than to be in love with them. And if we go to be with them, if we're enjoying ourselves with them, we are most in danger of being snared by them. The Philistines, the bees, are out there, and they are, we'll say, them are after us. There are certain people in King City that it's best not to be with. There are certain people who would like, who would be the Philistines, and we must not enjoin ourselves with them. The word is in Micah, it's in chapter 7, it's in verse 5. Turn to there if you will. Micah chapter 7, verse 5. Give you 20 minutes to find it. Micah chapter 7, verse 5. Do not trust a neighbor. Put no confidence in a friend. We've got to be careful who we are putting our trust in, because they may prove to be an enemy. A worldly friend to a godly person is like an enemy in the camp who will watch every opportunity to betray a person. If Samson couldn't keep a secret, nor can we. And I guess another point is this, in this idea of the reasoning of the friends, it is possible that there are secrets that we have that we don't want the world to know, or there are things we don't want the world to know, and then we ourselves would tell somebody. So we then are the first one who has betrayed ourselves, if thinking that they would not betray us. We've already betrayed ourselves by speaking what we did not want the world to know. So the reasoning of friends is it's better to be away from them than to be with them. But the most important thing is in verse 19, a phrase that says, he returned to the Father. He returned to the Father. After all these experiences this guy had, he returned to the Father. And like Samson, we will be obliged to return to the Heavenly Father. The trials we encounter on the way there, which is just a phrase meaning living day in and day out, all the trials that we encounter should make us love His house, want to go to the Heavenly Father, and long to be there, because He is, as with outstretched arms, is wanting us to go to Him. So I like that part. Samson went back home to his father's house, and we want to go back to the Father's house. Returning to the Father and His house is done every day. When you finish the experiences of that day, then you return back to the Father's house. And then weekly, you have returned to the Father's house here. Samson returned to the Father's house. All of the things that happen to us, all of the attacks, all of the roars, all of the situations, all the things that Satan, as this roaring lion, is trying to do, can only have effect when we sit and let him chew. If we say, no way, out of here, in the name of Jesus, get out of my life. And when you come to temptations, which is common to all men, as was the case with Samson, do unlike Samson, but take your stand. Take your stand. And then, at the end of the day, you can go back to the Father's house, and you can say, thank you. Because when you go to the Father's house, His arms are open wide, and you come in to His table, you can sit down with Him, and you can say, hey, I've had a pretty good day, I've had a bad day too, but I'm coming to you, and talk to the Father. And then He will sustain you through the Word and through prayer. That's on the daily basis. But then when you come to a weekly basis like this, we can return to the Father's house, and He'll set a banqueting table before us. And He'll say, hey, I want you to come. I want you to come and partake of that which represents my son's body, my son's blood. Because my son's body was broken for you. And the fruit of the vine that we have represents the blood that was shed for you. So as we pray, Father, we have come back to the Father's house right now through a week that for some has been horrendous. For some, it's been a week that they'd like to forget. But even out of all of the difficult things, you have made, if we will allow it, sweetness to come from the eater. And we thank you that you can make good from the bad. There have been experiences this week of some of our body members that have been just wonderful and great. It's been a whole week of victory, and that is the time of praising you in the Father's house. But we come to the Father's house now with some scratches from the paw of the Philistines. And these scratches can be made whole by the blood of the Lord, the blood of the Lamb. And as the Good Shepherd examines the sheep for those scratches and bruises and tries to clean and groom, I'm thankful, Lord, that now as we sit right now at your table in your house, in the Father's house, you are looking us over and you are saying, oh, I'm sorry that happened to you, but I can make it well if you will let me and not fight me. So, Lord, I pray you would pour the oil, you would apply the blood, and that the Holy Spirit would take those elements and just cleanse us and bless us this day at your house. As Jesus, I lift up this bread and I bless it in the name of Jesus. I lift up the fruit of the vine and I bless it in the name of Jesus to our partaking and even our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.